Bless the Lord God Almighty. No, come on and bless Him like only you can. Come on, it's Father's Day, and let your eternal Father know that you're so grateful for the blessings and the benefits of God this morning. My pastor teaches that shouting, well, that's the language of victory. Why don't you let every principality know that you got the victory this morning? Oh, come on. All around the country, people are talking about the shout that's in this church. Why don't on Father's Day, you let God know, let the devil know, let every principality know, you still got some depth in your shout. There's still something on the inside of you that ain't nobody seen. And here's why you have a shout in the mountains of Tennessee that nobody else has in the country. Isaiah said, that great prophet of God, he said, God's hands are not too short and His ears are not too deaf. The problem with America being disconnected from the blessings of God has nothing to do with God's ability to bless this nation. The prophet said, the problem is this, is that your iniquity has built barriers to the blessings of God. And so in Tennessee, you got to shout because you got a preacher that has a backbone. In Tennessee, you got to shout because you got a preacher that ain't playing games. In Tennessee, we got a preacher that's not building a castle, is advancing the kingdom of God. You got a preacher that will take the sword of the Spirit, which God has entrusted to him, and cut out the very sin that has so easily entangled itself within the church. So you got to shout, because in this place, every barrier that has come because of the iniquity in this land. You got a preacher that's preaching the blood of Jesus. You got a preacher in this house that's preaching repentance. And so every barrier's being removed. And as the barrier is removed, the blessings are beginning to fall. And I prophesy in the name of Jesus that there will be people that are coming from all around the world to this spot in Tennessee because they know there's no barrier in this place. There's only blessing in this place because we're dealing with the iniquity. God's taking the sin out. He's taking the stain out. He's taking the stench out. My God, somebody ought to shout this morning for the goodness of God. We bless your pastor, Pastor Shane, and his precious wife, Pam, the entire family. On behalf of a general of many generations, Dr. Rod Parsley, I come and I bless you. And a few months ago, we were headed down to Florida to meet with some of the greatest leaders in the kingdom of God. I wouldn't sit down yet. And we had a list of the leaders that we were going to meet with, and Pastor was going to share some vision. How many are thankful for men and women of God that have vision? All of a sudden, this name appeared on the list right out of nowhere, Pastor Shane Warner. And so I asked Pastor last night, I said, Pastor, he was cheering me on about today. He's so excited about us being here. And he said, you know, Paul, when he was facing execution, he looked over to Timothy and began to smile. And he said about Timothy, he said, I see something on the inside of you that is sincere. I see a shout that's got depth in it and purity in it. And Paul said to Timothy, he said, I see a faith that was first in your grandmother, and then it was in your mother, and now I know it's on the inside of you. In other words, the apostle was saying, I recognize the anointing that you're flowing in. And Dr. Parsley said, I sit back from Columbus, Ohio, and when I close my eyes and I hear the voice of Pastor Shane Warren, I recognize the multi-generational anointing that is resting on that man. Come on, you ought to shout, because I know what the other churches have. And you do too. That's why you're not there. And so Pastor Parsley said that at Dominion Camp Meeting, number 35, America's camp meeting, that's finally coming back because there is a Christ that's greater than COVID. I said there's a Christ that's greater than COVID. There's a Christ that's greater than any crisis. And so Dominion Camp Meeting number 35, Pastor Parsley, that general, on Friday night is going to lay hands on your pastor and appoint him as one of the international overseers in this mighty Pentecostal network. Why don't you thank God for the legacy anointing that rests upon your pastor? Woo! How about these incredible Valor Christian College students? They have a pure shout and a pure praise. They've been out in the mission field, cast out devils. Do you know that at Valor Christian College, America's Pentecostal College, the School of the Spirit, we do this thing called VIP Weekend. I'll get to my sermon in a minute. Is that all right? We do this thing called VIP Weekend. All colleges do it. It's where we try to entice you to come to our college and enroll. This is why you want to be here. But on night one for us, our red carpet premiere, when you come to VIP Weekend, we take precious people like these ladies, and at the midnight hour, they're in the worst parts of the city, and we're preaching the gospel to the prostitutes and the drug addicts, because we understand that God's given a commission to the church that we're not here to sit on our blessed assurance. We're sent to go, go, go. I can't tell you in Columbus how many strip clubs have been shut down because of this college. I said, I can't tell you how many. I've lost count. And they didn't shut them down because they went and held up signs that said, you're going to burn if you keep dancing. They didn't go with hate. They went with the love of God that he placed in their heart. And they won so many strippers to Jesus that they couldn't employ anybody in the nightclub anymore. So they had to close it down. There's a place in Columbus called Prostitute Alley that they renamed Jesus Alley because they've won so many to Jesus. So why don't you give honor to God for Valor Christian College and a generation of world changers that are still advancing the kingdom of God and serving a vision greater than their own. Hallelujah. God bless you, ladies. You can be seated. Bless the Lord. You can try to be seated so that I can try to preach in an atmosphere like this. You can just almost choose what kind of ministry you want to do. What a blessing it is to be here today. As I said, we love your pastors. I travel all across the world, and I don't know anybody that has a greater hospitality than this mighty man and woman of God. And I just find it fitting one more time to just really give them the honor. I mean honor them. Your pastors, it is perhaps the greatest single evidence of this reality, America is not too far gone. That heaven has a response for the crisis in the earth. And heaven's response is some Holy Ghost filled, fire baptized, remnant servants that he strategically places in the earth to continue the work of his son Jesus. Well, today is Legacy Sunday. And legacy is simply this. When we get enough faith to believe that the promises that were made to the mothers and the fathers become the promises to the sons and daughters. Oh, if you knew church history, if you knew that even your name as a church has got legacy all around it, because there was a mighty man of God that prayed for years, God, bend me and bend the church and bend the nation. And so even your church is birthed out of the anointing of legacy, that God, what you promised to some fathers and some mothers in another generation, we're just desperate enough to believe that we can pick it up and walk in that same anointing. That what you promised them, we can inherit. We got some people that understand that God promised the promised land to Moses, but it was Joshua that got to get them into the inheritance. And I'm here to tell you that throughout church history, there has been some incredible prophetic words about a third great awakening. And I'm here to tell you, God gave the promise to them, but you and I are the sons and daughters of legacy that are going to inherit the promises of God. Biblically and historically, God has placed unusual. Look over at your neighbor and say unusual. Unusual anointing upon his servants that serve him with sincerity. God placed an unusual anointing on Noah that he could build an ark, though he had no blueprints other than what God would give him. Why don't you thank God that the anointing of Noah is on your pastor? That's why he's able to build what nobody else can build in the middle of an economy that's about to crash. Come on, somebody. It's an unusual anointing. God put an unusual anointing upon David that he could fight. If we've ever needed the anointing to come upon a generation that knows how to fight, it's now. Because our children are worth fighting for. Our education system is worth fighting for. Our land is worth fighting for. It was unusual if you were able to take your bare hands and fight with a lion and a tiger and a bear, and somebody said, oh my. Unusual anointing on him. That's why he was able to fight that Goliath, that giant. Some of you keep running from the lions, and so you never get the opportunity to see that God is simply trying to let an unusual anointing come on you, that you can fight what others are terrified of. Whew. There was an unusual anointing that came upon Isaiah that he could prophesy, that he could see the Messiah. I mean, he in detail described the Messiah and the crucifixion that he would go through. He had the ability to see it and to speak it. It's an unusual anointing. The early church, unusual anointing that the dead would raise. The deaf could hear, the blind could see. Sickness would literally run from the Americans or from the early church. You didn't see the early church running from sickness. It was an unusual anointing. And God gave this revelation to my pastor, Dr. Parsley, that no anointing that has ever been on the earth ever leaves the earth. It's simply the responsibility of this current generation to pick up what the last generation had. It's simply the responsibility for us to become who they were so that God could pour out the oil of heaven upon us. Whenever we bring new pastors into our network and they come to Columbus, Ohio and see that incredible facility of our college and our women's clinic and our preparatory school and the Lester Summerall Tabernacle that seats 5,200 people, pastor always wants me to give a tour to the new pastors. And one day he asked me, he said, do you know why I like you to go show them? And I said, well, to show off, sir, it's pretty impressive. He said, no. That's how he said it to. He said, you got to take them and show them everything that God allowed me to build before I was even 29 years old. He said, and here's why. Because my history is their inheritance. Yeah. I come on Legacy Sunday to let you know that the history of the saints of God are your inheritance. And the greatest hits of God are not in the past, they're in the present. What God did before, he's desperate to do again. He's just looking for somebody that'll say, I've had enough of what we got. I want God's best. You got these backslidden puppeteer preachers talking about a new thing. Well, the Bible says nothing. There's nothing new under the sun. What kind of new thing are you coming up with? Seeker sensitive. What'd that do for anybody? Hello? When God says, I'm going to do a new thing, he's not saying I'm going to do a completely different thing. He's saying I'm going to do what I've done before. I'm going to do it again. It's going to be new. It's going to be fresh. It's not going to be your grandparents' story. It's going to be your story. Because what I did for them, I'm desperate to do for you. We got to pick it up. So we got to get connected. We got to link to Legacy. Let me give you some Bible. You'll think I'm not a real preacher. I'm preaching Bible to you already. Deuteronomy 34, 9 and 11. Look at this. Joshua, the son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom. I could preach all day just on that. That first of all, that wisdom is a spirit. It's the spirit of God. Now watch this. Joshua receives the spirit of wisdom. How? Because Moses laid his hand on him. Thank God for the impartation. Moses laid his hand on Joshua, and what was on Moses got on Joshua. Your pastor's been walking in an incredible anointing for a long, long time. But when he comes back after July 1, 2, 3, and the anointing that rests on Dr. Parsley, which is the same anointing that rested on Dr. Summerall and Howard Carter, if I was you, I'd get to packing because you're about to get more than one property because people are desperate for the seven times greater anointing that's coming to this place. The anointing is transferable. Joshua received that which Moses had when Moses laid his hands on him. So the Israelites obeyed him. The anointing demands obedience. When there's anointing, you don't have to manipulate people to obey you. So Israel, the Israelites, they obey Joshua just as they did Moses. It says that no man ever would rise again like Moses. Thank God for the Moseses. Thank God for the fathers and the mothers of the faith. Thank God for those that when they see a fiery fire upon the bush and a voice, they don't run from it, they walk to it. Thank God that while your pastors had it nice and had been used by God to do an extraordinary do in their lifetime what many of us couldn't do in 10 lifetimes, and yet heard the voice of God like a fire, a burning bush, saying, I want you to come a little closer, and I want you to leave there and go back to the hills of Tennessee. Thank God for some Moseses that know how to hear the voice of God and respond to the voice of God, not run from the voice. That's the type of people that you want to put their hands on you, that are sensitive to the Holy Spirit. The reality is that Joshua was ready to lead people because he was a son of Moses. He was a son of legacy that received an impartation. So the promise of Moses became the promise to Joshua. With legacy, we don't start from the beginning. We start where others left off. When Joshua gets the anointing and he gets the mantle, he doesn't say, well, let's go back into slavery again and let's go through all that junk before the Pharaoh. No, he started where Moses left off. And when we link to legacy and to those that have gone before us, Hebrews talks about because they ran, we can run. So we're not looking to repeat a first awakening. We're not looking to repeat the second great awakening. We're looking to continue where they left off and have that third, final legacy awakening that shakes the ground and makes the devils tremble at the harvest of souls that are coming before the trumpet blows and the king returns. Joshua. It says in Joshua 1:5, God says this. This is God speaking to Joshua. He says, no one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. I'll be with you like I was with Moses. What a promise. What a promise that God said to Moses, to Joshua, I'm going to be with you exactly like I was with Joshua, with Moses. What if Joshua didn't know nothing about Moses? That promise would have little value to him. What if every time Joshua disagreed with the direction of Moses, he ran off in a corner somewhere and missed the miracle? But because he served alongside of and was a son of Moses, when God said, everything you've seen me do through your father Moses, I'm going to do for you. I imagine there was a dance and there was a shout. But you go to preaching legacy in the American church and declare the truth that what God promised to the past generation, he wants to do in the current generation, it gets quiet because we know more about the Kardashians than we do heaven saints. We know more about our favorite sports team, and we can tell you all their stats, but we don't know nothing about the lineage of God's people. We are absolutely divorced from, separated from what God has been doing the last 30, 40, 50 years in his kingdom. So God has all these promises, and the church is in defeat because they don't understand the promise that is right here in our hands. See, because Joshua was with Moses and he saw God split that sea and they walked through on dry land. And then God gave Joshua the promise. He said, I'll be with you like I was with him. And so Joshua gets so close to the promise, but there's a river and he hears the whisper of God saying, I'll be with you like I was with Moses. And so in the same way that God split the sea for Moses, God put out his hand and stopped the water of the river, and they made it through to the other side, to the inheritance. Can I tell you, we are the generation that can see the mighty hand of God reach out from the heavens because his hands are not too short, and we can transition into the promises of Pentecost. The promises of God. You have to learn about legacy to be able to walk in legacy. You have to know about what God has done so that you have an idea of what God will do. Amen. See, these students that were up here, two of them wearing shirts, and says Wigglesworth and Carter and Summerall and Parsley. Legacy is not just about remembrance, it's about continuance. And so you got some religious spirits that they see something like that. Well, why they got their names on there? Because we remember and we're determined to see God continue. I said we remember and we're determined to see God continue through us. Continue what kind of things? Well, let me tell you about Dr. Summerall, who was the pastor of my pastor. That mighty man of God, while he was serving in the mission field, he was so hot. While he was there, he came across a witch doctor that had taken human blood and animal blood, mixed it together, danced before devils, and invited them to invade him. That's when most of you'd quit. We're afraid of having a conversation with a liberal. Came across a witch doctor that had drank human blood and animal blood and invited devils to invade him. And Dr. Summerall walked up against that witch doctor and he preached the gospel to that witch doctor. He laid his hand on that witch doctor and immediately that doctor went down to the ground. And when he finally got back up, he was speaking in heavenly tongues and declaring the reality that there is none king but Jesus. That's your lineage. Later that night, Dr. Summerall was in his room where it was so hot. And they had taken cloth and put it over the windows to try to keep the mosquitoes out. Of course, in today's ministry, if we're not staying at the Hilton, then it's just, you know, we can't do ministry. And he said, all of a sudden, he said, the room got so cold you could see your breath. I'm not telling you something I read in a book. I'm telling you legacy that's been passed down. He said, it got so cold he could see his breath. He said, all of a sudden, the drapes they put up to keep the bugs out went straight up. And he said that his bed began to shake and tremble until it was in the middle of the room. I don't know why you look so surprised. These same devils are loose in your land. That's why we have school shootings. It's a devil that can take another life and never mourn about it. These same devils are in your land. You've just been so busy being entertained by them on television, they don't bother you anymore. Dr. Summerall laid up in that bed and said, devil, I recognize you. You were on that witch doctor earlier today. And in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. And he said immediately the heat returned to the room. And the windows, they went back down. Dr. Summerall lay there for a moment. He said, devil, get back in here. He said, when I came in here, my bed was against that wall. Now in the name of Jesus, put it back. I'm talking about some sons and daughters of legacy that know how to tell the devil to put it back. Put my joy back. Put my money back. Put my marriage back. Put my children back. Put my health back. Put it back, devil. Because what God did through the legacy of Dr. Summerall, he's desperate to do again. Men and women of authority. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. How about John G. Lake? so anointed that when the world was in a pandemic, oh, you thought we never had one before. In the early 1900s, when the bubonic plague was sweeping across the land, and it was so contagious and so deadly that if you just got in the room with it, you were likely to get it and die from it. And so the government was paying really good money to find volunteers to go into the homes where people had died from this plague and carry their bodies out. And they couldn't find anybody. And John G. Lake said, I'll go and you ain't gonna pay me a thing. And so he went and he began to carry the deceased out. And eventually it caught notice and the doctor said, this doesn't make any sense. How have you not caught it? And John G. Lake said, I believe you can put that virus right in my hand and it will die because the Spirit of God's on the inside of me. I'm not talking about some fairy tale. I'm talking about history that you've not been taught. Look it up. Much better than the porn you've been looking at. I hope you have me back. If not, you know where I learned to preach like this. He reached out his hand and they put that virus in his hand and it's documented that it died. Well, why does that surprise you? Jesus said you'd lay hands on the sick and they'd recover. Jesus said that miracles and signs would follow after you. You see, you're in a church here where your pastor is so baptized in legacy that he's raising you to stop chasing the signs and let the signs chase after you. Glory to God. So you got to learn about legacy, but it's not good enough just to learn about it, which you need to. You have to link to it. You got to get connected to legacy. Don't worry, I'm not going to get weird and say, let's go down to the graveyards and roll around. That's not how you get anointing. Serving is the language of selection. When God is looking to select somebody to put the anointing of old, he looks for a servant. He doesn't look for a superstar. He looks for a servant. Servants get the anointing. In Joshua 1:3, watch, it says, after the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua who had served Moses. Do you know why your pastor has so many servants in this house? It's incredible. But it's this simple kingdom reality. Servants get servants. Moses was a servant to God, and Joshua came along and served him. And so the link to the legacy is serving something and someone greater than yourself. When God said, I got to put this anointing on somebody, the anointing that was on Moses, it's got to be on somebody. God didn't say who complained the most. God didn't say who was the most resistant. Who was the one that thought they always had the better idea? Maybe they got better ideas. Maybe I ought to put my anointing on them. God looked for the man that served Moses. And God said, if you were faithful to serve Moses, you'll be faithful to serve me. And he put his anointing on. What are you serving that's greater than your own ambition? Glory to God. The anointing you serve is often the anointing that you receive. Just ask Joshua. Just ask Elisha. Just ask Timothy. And the list goes on and on and on. This is why God chooses servants. And servants, service is the link to legacy. Because servants understand when it comes to legacy, we are not the replacements of anyone. Joshua didn't replace Moses. He didn't become the leader and say, take all of Moses' pictures off the wall. It's my time now. In fact, look at how much Joshua says, remember Moses. Remember what Moses taught. Remember the moment with Moses. Because servants are not replacements. They're reinforcements. When Jesus left the earth, the disciples were not there to replace him. We are here to reinforce. So to get legacy anointing, you got to link to it. And the way that you link is not through manipulation. You can't buy legacy anointing. You serve the men and women of God, and God sees something on the inside of you and says, I'll now let that anointing rest on you. Legacy is greater than just our names written on a building. David's son, Absalom, said, I have no son to preserve my memory, so I'll build something that I'll be remembered for. Your legacy is not simply what you build. Your legacy is not about your name being left somewhere. Your legacy is in the sons and daughters that come after you. And the vision and the values that God gave to you still burn on the inside of another generation. That's kingdom legacy. I said that's kingdom legacy. Well, you have to learn about it. You have to link to it. And you have to live it. I said you got to live it. You can't expect the anointing of these mighty men and women of God that were pure in faith and live just however you want. You cannot leave a legacy you never lived. If you're not a praying mother, I mean a real praying mother, then you can't leave the legacy that when you're gone, that your children have the memory of hearing you not play on your phone till you fall asleep, but pray until you fall asleep. You can't leave what you don't live. In 2 Kings, watch this, the sons of the prophets. Now for those who think, man, I don't ever need any kind of training to preach. I don't need no ordination. I don't need nothing. But you don't know Bible. Because there were schools of ministry in the Old Covenant and in the New Covenant. Someone ought to say amen. And so watch this. The sons of the prophet. Elijah has now went to heaven. And Elisha got the mantle because he served him. And now he's going to begin to live in legacy anointing. And look what happens. The sons. Someone say the sons. The people that they were invested in. They come to Elisha, the prophet, and they said, please notice the place where we live under your supervision. I could pause and preach on that for a little bit. Won't you try living a supervised life? You can't beg for God's glory if you reject his government. The place where we live under your supervision is too small for us. Let us go to the Jordan, each of us, get along so we can build a place together. And the prophet said, go. And they said, come with us, your servants. So the prophet's sons, they didn't say, my mentor did so much, now I can do so little. They honored what Elijah and Elisha had done and what they had built. And there was such a fire on the inside of Elijah and Elisha that the sons were desperate to be around them. I just want to get in their presence because there's fire of God on them. I've seen the miracles, signs, and wonders, so I want to reside close to them. And the sons of the prophets said, it's not big enough. Let us go and labor. They didn't come say, Pastor, the church has got too many people. You need to build bigger. They came and said, Pastor, we're out of room. Would you bless us that we might build bigger? Come on, somebody. Would you bless us that we could build and extend what you've done? Legacy is not just about remembering, but it's continuance. It's taking what God has done and doing it farther, bigger, and greater. The legacy of our network, City Harvest Network, is taking what God's done in Columbus and sons of the ministry, like your pastor, saying, that's impressive, but it needs to be bigger. It needs to be better. And what's in Columbus needs to be in Tennessee. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, I mean, like, right across from Planned Parenthood, we built a women's clinic. So you walk out of one place where they're trying to tell you you can kill your baby, and the first thing you see is the gospel of Jesus Christ, a ministry, a women's clinic that we built that gives absolutely free medical care, because we know that a woman that hears the heartbeat of her baby is a lot less likely than to stop that heartbeat. It's a place where we've saved 13,000 babies. That's bigger than the city I live in. 13,000 babies. But I believe that the reason at a Dominion camp meeting, Dr. Parsley will reach out that mighty hand and put it on your pastor is because you need one in Tennessee. The vision's got to be bigger. There are sons and daughters that are saying, we need this to be bigger. We built a preparatory school, Harvest Preparatory School. Because we know this, that there's nothing wrong with the children. There's something wrong with the education system. Don't just speak about it. Do something about it. And do you know at Harvest Preparatory School this year, we had 55 graduating seniors from our preparatory school. Praise God for that. Right down the road, not even a quarter of a mile, was the public school that graduated 500 students. They, with their 500 students, received $3 million in scholarships for those seniors. But us, with 55, received $10.2 million in scholarships for our students. Because God's just looking for some sons and daughters that will pick up and build so that he can bless. There's not a blessing problem. There's a doing problem. This is a church of legacy. This is a church that's willing to get bigger and better. This is the church that says we're not branching off to do our own thing. We're staying connected to the rest of God's kingdom to do his thing. Whew. Watch this, then I'll wrap up. Maybe. Is this all right?
Yes.
Joshua 4, verses 4 through 7, watch this. Remember, just like God split the Red Sea for Moses, now God stops the river for Joshua, and they cross them into the promise. And when they get to the promise, look at what God says to Joshua. He says, get some men. 12 men. He says, Joshua summoned the 12 men he selected from the Israelites, one man for his tribe, and said to them, go across the ark of the Lord your God in the middle of the Jordan. Each of you lift a stone onto his shoulder for each of the Israelite tribes. So this will be a sign among you in the future, and your children will ask, what does this mean? And you will tell them, the waters of the Jordan were cut off in front of the ark of the Lord's covenant. When it crossed the Jordan, the Jordan's waters were cut off. Therefore, these stones will be a memorial for the Israelites. God got Joshua and all those people through. But before they could even celebrate, God said, I want you to go back to the place of the miracle. I want you to go back to the place that you walked through on dry land. And I want you to pick up some men that will get a heavy brick, get something heavy on them, and carry it back to the place of the miracle. And right there at the place of the miracle, I want you to build something that will cause your children to say, what is this? And I'm here to tell you, listen to me. God has called your pastors back to the hills of Tennessee, back to the place of the breakthrough, back to the place of the miracle, back to the place of the fire of God, so they could build with your help something that will cause a confused and hurting generation. A generation that's being told you can't even say dad on Father's Day. It's non-birthing day. We ought to send that language back to hell where it came from. A generation that's so confused. They don't know if they're a boy or if they're a girl or both. A generation that the same place you go to buy your coffee is now taking your money and they're using that to fund sex change for children. In the midst of this generation, God needs somebody to link to legacy. He needs somebody to go back to the place of the cross, back to the place of the blood, back to the place of moral clarity, and build something. Because what is undeniable is the presence of God. As your pastor said not long ago, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are as much for them as they are for us. Because when they see someone have the ability to speak a language they don't even know, when they see cancer removed, when they see wheelchairs pushed aside, when they see sinners become saints, not simply sinners saved by grace, it's undeniable. It's undeniable. John Wesley said, catch on fire and people will come from miles to watch you burn. Tennessee, God's got some fire. And you might just be the last hope for the nation. God's not just building a community church here. That's not what he's doing. He didn't send your pastors back here just to build something to pacify time. He didn't bring them here to build what looks like what's already out there. He brought them here to release the fire that has been within the last generations. But you're the sons and the daughters of the house. And you got to make a decision. Will we pick it up? Will we pick up the burden? Will we pay the sacrificial cost to see the rivers of revival flow through the hills of Tennessee? Listen, God's desperate. He's cheering for you and believing for you to have just enough faith in him to pick up the weight of the assignment. Would you stand with me? Every head bowed. I'm not here to give a salvation offering. If you're lost and you don't know Jesus, get to know him today. If you're in sin today that's building barriers between you and God, deal with that sin today. deal with it. Well, how do I deal with it? 1 John 1:9, you confess. You know, the kingdom is so much different than the culture. In the culture, the more you confess, the greater your sentence become. In the kingdom, the more you confess, the greater your freedom is. You got sin in your life, deal with it. But I come to preach to the remnant. Not everybody, but many. While I've been preaching, God's been trying to start a fire on the inside of you. A fire of Pentecost. A fire of legacy. A fire that believes in the God of impossibilities. That in this hour, we're going to see God drive out devils and drive out sickness, put marriages back and families back. We're going to see a mighty move of God. God's put a fire on the inside of you. And some of you are willing and you're saying, I'll give my life for this revival. I'll give my life for this legacy. And only those of you that feel that fire beginning to burn on the inside of you, I want to ask you to make your way, line up right in the middle aisle. And one by one, you're going to come forward. And Pastor Shane and I are going to simply place our hands on you. And the anointing and the vision that God put in his heart is about to get into your heart and never depart. So God's speaking to you. Make your way right now. God said, like the sons, we're going to go and we're going to pick it up. We're going to pick it up. We're going to pick up the stones. We're going to pick up the blocks. We're going to pick up the heaviness. We're going to pick it up. That's you. Line up one by one. We're going to just shoo, shoo, shoo. The anointing is transferable. My pastor teaches it this way. If I jump in a swimming pool and I'm absolutely soaked with water and I hug you, there's no way for what's on me not to get on you. There is an impartation. Somebody say amen. And so on this Legacy Sunday, we're believing for the impartation of the vision. Someone shout vision. Vision. The impartation of the vision. And when you get that vision, you'll run, but you'll never grow weary. I said you're about to run, but you'll never grow weary. The same spirit that was on Christ that raised up that dead body, there was some energy that came on that dead body and picked it up. And today, every one of you that's in the line, I bless you with resurrecting power. The same spirit that picked up Christ. We'll pick you up in the morning, and we'll pick you up late at night and sustain you in the ministry of Jesus Christ. As Pastor Shane come a little closer, is this okay? As you come closer, Pastor Shane, there have been, how many of you know there have been so many miracles that God's done through this mighty man of God? I mean, if you just do a quick Google search, you'll see books that have been written about the verifiable miracles that God's done. You're pure of faith. You're linked to this legacy. You're serving a man that's serving another man that he calls his pastor. Then today, there's a release of anointing to lay hands on the sick at Walmart. I said there's an anointing to lay hands on the sick at Walmart and watch them recover. There's an anointing coming on you at the football field to walk down to the hurt child, place your hand on them, and watch God heal a broken bone right in front of your eyes. Unusual anointing. So here we go. One by one, come forward and pastor, begin to pray.
I pass this on. Whatever I have, I give in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for legacy. Thank you, Lord, for legacy. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, we know that you have great things in store. We humble ourselves under your hand. And we say, God, we want everything that heaven has to offer. We do not want to come short of not one single thing that heaven has to offer. And if you're looking for a people to do something in, we said, hey, right here we are. We'll do whatever you say. We'll go wherever you want us to go. We humble ourselves. We want you to use us, Lord. Father, I thank you for the message that Bishop has shared. Thank you for these wonderful young leaders that you brought. I hope they stirred our heart today to believe you for bigger. And I just speak the favor of God over them and everything they do in the future. You have connected us divinely with them. I pray in the name of Jesus that you would use us all for your kingdom's sake to make Jesus famous in this earth. That every tribe, every tongue, every kindred, every people will call upon you. I speak the blessing of the Lord over everybody in this room today. As the father of this house, I release the Father's blessing over this. And I pray your mighty hand to be upon them. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Would you give Bishop Amos a great big hand? Thank you. What a great word on legacy. Now listen, out at the table out there, the students are going to... Y'all going to be out there? Y'all going to be out at the table? Because they'll want your autograph, I'm sure. Yes. The students are going to be out there, and some of the team is going to be out there. Dr. Parsley sent a lot of... Let me tell you one thing that's out there that you ought to get. And that's a journal that Dr. Parsley wrote when he was diagnosed and was fighting cancer. You know, that a couple years ago, the enemy tried to take Pastor's voice. They told him he'd never preach again. They told him he'd never talk again. But he's defied that because he has faith, right? And so I would encourage you, check out that. And also, for all of the young men and women that are in here, you feel like you got a call of God on your life? Talk to these students about valor. Here's the thing. Because of me coming into leadership there, you get a big blessing if you go to Valor. And then also our church helps you as well if you want to go to Valor, even if you got to do it remotely. So whatever it takes. But go by and get some information about the college. Amen? All right, guys, I love y'all. It's been a great Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to all my dads out there. Get out of here. I will see you Wednesday night at 6:30.